The 100 Years' War, the Cressy period. Well, we're still looking at the English expeditions of 1345, and we've had some pretty good success with the Earl of Lancaster, and unfortunately, Edward's expedition isn't going to go anywhere but back home, but at least he stabilized what was going on with the Flemish territory. So let's check and see what the others are doing, and then next time we'll be looking at continuing with the Earl of Lancaster. Now, the English expedition under the Duke of Lancaster, or I should say the Earl of Lancaster, was a great success, but the other expeditions ended in disappointment. On Guernsey Island, Castle Cornet had been stormed in August on the 24th, 1345, and the entire French garrison was killed. The event completed the English reoccupation of the Channel Islands, and at the same time removed the most serious threat to English communications with both Brittany as well as Gascony. But then progress faltered, and for several reasons. First of all, Northampton's army was of very high quality, but it was small, just a few hundred strong. Plus, control of the operations was shared with John de Montfort, who had to be allowed to cut a good figure in his own duchy, but was a thoroughly inadequate commander. Dagworth's flying raid in the central Brittany, which was planned for June, didn't begin until the end of July. This was unfortunate because Charles of Blois in June and July was very weak. But in August, when the French government realized that Edward III's invasion had been abandoned, they started transferring troops to Brittany, using troops previously reserved for the defense of the north. Plus, many of these reserves were actually in Normandy and could be quickly redeployed. So by August the 9th, Charles of Blois had substantial reinforcements. Then we have the death of John de Montfort. He conducted the main summer military operations. At the end of July, he laid siege to the only significant town on the southern coast peninsula held by Charles of Blois, the town of Quimper. An attempt was made to storm the place on August the 11th and failed a few days later. Then Charles of Blois, his newly enlarged army, attacked without warning. Now that, of course, broke the siege. It also scattered de Montfort's troops, and de Montfort himself was surrounded in a fortified house. He only escaped by bribing a sentry in the middle of the night. De Montfort then withdrew to his castle at Enbain, and there he fell gravely ill and died on September the 26th, 1345. And his death made matters actually worse for Edward III. You would think that, okay, he's gone. Here's our chance to withdraw from Brittany. But of course, Edward is not going to do that. So that leaves us with supporting an heir. So unfortunately, England is going to have to once again remake the Montfortist party. And they have to create a new symbol. Now, the Earl of Northampton received the homage of the surviving Montfortists in October of 1345. And in the joint names, he received them in the name of Edward III and the dead man's son, that is John. But he was just 5 years old, and in addition, he had been raised entirely in England. The English King's Council was then assembled on October the 16th, 1345, at Westminster, for a review of the somber events of the year. Good news did arrive in the middle of the council, and that was the Earl of Lancaster's capture of Bergerac. At this time, it was still proposed to send fresh troops to Gascony and Brittany as reinforcements. However, the government canceled both expeditions on October the 22nd. A new expedition to the continent was to be undertaken as early as possible in 1346. The people who really got hurt at this were the shipmasters, whose vessels had been in most cases under requisition since the spring of 1345. They were not released. What happened was the government did allow them to be licensed to trade But in order to do that, they had to put up bonds promising to reappear at Portsmouth on February the 17th, 1346. The new army would leave then, supposedly, on March the 1st, 1346. But at this point, there was no destination selected. Meanwhile, back in Brittany, the fighting wasn't finished yet. The Earl of Northumberland started a long winter campaign in the northern part of the Breton Peninsula in an attempt to capture harbors more accessible from England rather than having to go to Brest or Venise. Northumberland's problem was that the campaign area was the part of Brittany that was loyal to the family of Jeanne de Poitiers, that is, Charles of Blois' wife. It was all very well to inflict a sharp defeat on Charles in open ground, which happened at the very beginning of the campaign. But Charles, as usual, simply withdrew in good order. Northampton just couldn't capture the strongholds. He failed to take Carhaix, which was a road junction. He failed to take Gungat, which is Charles' headquarters, which was heavily fortified since 1343. It was so well fortified that the English siege engines basically did no damage to the walls at all. And the same thing happens at Lannion at the end of April. But Lancaster did succeed in capturing a large consignment of Spanish wine, which was stored outside the main wall, and by year's end, the English held a tenuous hold over a small inlet on the Saudé River on the Trégriere Peninsula. Even this was useless. Trégriere, its best harbor, was unfortified. La Roche-Denier, a small garrison, was established, which became, for the next 2 years, the focal point of the Breton War. But it was far from the main centers of English strength, and it was costly to maintain. In addition, its harbor could only handle ships of 60 tons or less, and then only at high tide. Now, two other events occurred at the end of 1345 that we'll have to look at. One I've already mentioned, that is the continued Earl of Lancaster's campaign, which will go into the early part of 1346. But there's a papal ambassador, Niccolo Caravalli, who will arrive in England to do a little discussion on peace talks. Not that that's going to be effective. But that's where we stand at this point. But we're gradually moving closer to the Cressy invasion. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle by Sumption. The Hundred Years' War by Perrois and The Hundred Years' War by Nylands. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.